This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions. Studio Lounge interviews brought to you by Nakuma, OM Financial, and College Ave Student Loans. Welcome back to our continued coverage of Nakuma's Kauai Conference here in the beautiful island of Kauai in the middle of the South Pacific. And oh my gosh, look who I ran across. Elliot Eisenberg, the bow tie economist.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice to be seen.
Nice to see you.
Thank you. Especially here.
I know. I mean, yeah, there's not a cloud in the sky today.
Birds are colorful. The flora, the fauna, it's all phenomenal.
Yeah, we had the bird sounds. We had those piped in. That's
nice.
Artificial. Yes.
Just for you.
So Elliot, how have you been? It's been a while since we've spoken.
It has been a while. Things are good. I mean, I'm busy. There's meetings going galore everywhere, right? Everyone has pent-up demand for meetings, pent-up demand for travel, hotels, golf, hotel, and so on. So this is part of it.
Yeah, I think every conference I've been to this year in 2020 has set a record attendance because everyone's so anxious to get out and see people again.
And they want to see their friends.
Yeah.
They want to see their so-and-so friends, or their this friends, their Pittsburgh friends, their swimming pool friends, or whatever it is, whatever conference we're going to, right? Absolutely.
Swimming pool friends. I haven't heard that one. I'll have to remember that one. So anyway. So
I spoke to a group, big chlorine, big water. So they were selling chlorine. So they hauled their swimming pool friends.
Swimming pool. Now, well, that makes sense. Okay. Put in that context. So, hey, you're obviously keynoting here. So congratulations on
that. Thank you. Thank you.
So share with me the topic I have here. It's the economy in 2023. Take a hike.
Take a hike. Right. Take a hike because the Fed's raising rates like there's no tomorrow.
I get it.
So we're now taking a hike. Take a hike. And so far, the economy has withstood these interest rate hikes. There's no question. The economy has performed remarkably well. We're not in a recession. We weren't in a recession in Q1 and Q2 when GDP declined two quarters in a row.
Right.
But we're going to head into a recession in 23. There's no question.
Okay.
Eventually, we're going to run out of gas. Household savings gets depleted. Firms begin to hire fewer people. Mm-hmm. CapEx begins to weaken. The dollar's gotten strong. Exports are going to weaken. You put this all, and the delayed impact of the prior interest rate hikes will make themselves felt come March, April, May, June, whatever it is, and then you end up in a recession.
All that money we saved up during the pandemic.
Right.
And all the, I guess, all the money from the government that we deposited.
Yes.
Poof.
It's slowly going away.
Okay.
It's
dissipating
out. Because inflation is higher, wage growth isn't keeping up with inflation.
Yeah.
So people are not behind, but they gotta pay more for rent and more for energy and more for gas and more for everything, and they're depleting their savings.
Yeah. And so it slowly trickles away.
Right.
So,
and by the end of mid next year, a good chunk of the population will have burnt away all that savings.
Good grief. Good grief. So, can you share a couple of takeaways? I don't want to steal all your thunder from your talk, but can you share a couple of takeaways or a couple of nuggets that you're going to be providing the?
I mean, the biggest one is the recession's coming. I think another big one is that the recession, I don't think, is going to be a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more of a garden variety recession. Now, it's been a long time since we had one of those.
Nothing like 2008, 2009?
Don't even go there. I mean, the housing market, remember, there was the epicenter of the problem, and things propagated from there out, the economy.
Yeah.
Now, housing is getting whacked, like it always gets whacked when they raise rates quickly.
Sure.
So it's painful for the housing sector and the refinance sector and the appraisers and the title attorneys and all those people.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just... This is not a bug. It's a feature of what the Fed's doing, but they're just collateral damage, like everybody else will be eventually.
Okay.
Housing goes into it first and comes out of it first. Mm-hmm. Also, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a long time ago. The last normal recession we had was 1990. That's
a long
time ago.
Oh boy!
Because the latest one was bizarre. The COVID 2 month recession was crazy.
Yeah.
As was the 07, 08, or 08, 09 housing bust.
Mm-hmm.
The 2000 recession, the dot-com one, was very strange. It was weird because it didn't affect the real economy that much.
Right.
The stock market got hammered.
Right. And a lot of companies blew up.
But it
went away.
Economically, you didn't see much damage. You saw a little, but not much. But 1990 is the last time we had a normal recession.
Okay.
12 months, 13 months, it comes, it goes. Mm-hmm. GDP falls a bit, unemployment rises a little bit, and we are out of it. Inflation will hopefully come down over the next 12, 15, 18 months.
Okay.
You know.
Good. Well, I'm glad this is not going to be a doom and gloom type of talk. This is actually kind of encouraging, right?
I think it is. People, after they hear me speak, they say they're empowered or they feel prepared to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's less unknown. I mean, the housing market last time was terrible, and that led to a whole lot of terrible people defaulting on their homes and so on. We're not going to have that. I mean, sure, some people will lose their homes inevitably. People will lose their jobs.
Right.
But the unemployment rate's not going to go sky high like it went in 07, 08.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right. Well, that's kind of the dichotomy with what's happening right now, because the employment rate is pretty darn good right
it's
now.
It's spectacular.
It's like, wait a minute, right. What's going on?
So what's going on there is employers are holding on to employees because it's so hard to find employees and so hard
point.
To train new ones.
Yeah, yeah.
They're saying, well, we're not going to let go of our workers until we see the whites of the eyes of the recession in front of our face. So that's causing the recession, causing the economy to hold stronger,
right,
which means the Fed's going to raise rates more.
Right.
So it's self-defeating at some level, but it's the only choice you have.
Because
what if you're wrong? What if the recession comes a year later than you think, or 6 months later, you'll have laid off your workers, you'll be in trouble.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the lack of workers is causing this strange behavior.
Right. Okay.
So we're hoarding workers. That's why labor productivity is going to hell. GDP is not going up much.
Yeah, gotcha. So the main takeaway from your talk will be, or at least this one, because you have another one as well. So the main takeaway from this talk would be,
the recession is coming.
Okay.
The recession won't be terrible.
Okay.
It'll be garden variety.
Okay.
It'll last about a year. The housing market will get hit, but nothing like 07, 08, 08, 09. No.
Okay.
And we'll get out of it. And the Fed will slowly bring down inflation. The big question is how fast.
Right.
The faster it is, the faster the recession ends, the quicker the Fed can lower rates. But and the other thing is the notion, like last week the stock market went crazy when the inflation numbers came in just a little below expectations. This is inappropriate behavior.
Okay.
The recession will come.
Mm-hmm.
These are bear market rallies. We've had 6 or 7 since the bear market began.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a bear market rally. You can trade on those, but you can't buy and hold on that strategy.
Okay.
Because until inflation's down in the low single digits, the Fed's not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm. To have your job must be a daily adventure. My God.
It is a daily adventure. Things are changing
so fast. And
you can't be angry at the market. The market's never wrong, right? You have to understand what the market's doing.
Just roll with it, baby.
Roll
with it. Hey, the second one, real quick, before I let you go, is real estate. It's changed more than you think. So give me a quick summary.
So the big thing there is inventory. On the residential housing side, traditionally, inventory and price were ridiculously closely correlated. As inventory went up, price went down. But the last 4 or 5 months, we've seen inventories barely increase, and prices go from rising at 2% a month back in March, the peak of the market, to now going down almost 1% a month in 6 months or 5 months, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And even though inventory is barely moving, so inventory is no longer the gold standard, if you will.
Gotcha.
It's the fact that the entire housing market is going into a mild deep freeze. There's no one selling and there's no one buying.
Right.
That's why even though inventory is very low at 3 months, which is traditionally a super low level of inventory, which would be associated normally with good price appreciation, now it's not. Because no one's putting their house in the market, and then in turn, those people who aren't putting their house in the market also aren't buying a house.
Right, so inventory is stagnant as well, because,
Pretty much.
Because I was thinking, well, wouldn't that bring the supply up? But no,
it's not.
But if nobody is putting their house
in the market.
No one's
putting
the house in the
market either. Yeah. The people who put the house in the market are also subsequent buyers.
Yeah, when those interest rates go up, that screeching sound is the sound of the market stopping.
And it's because the gap between what the mortgage rate that you have now, 3, 3.25, 3.5, 4 even, is way lower than 7 and 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're not going to buy a new house and pay more money for the house and get a bigger mortgage with a higher rate.
Thank you.
You're going to stay in your house. So that's why the whole housing market's kind of like just going into a bit of a freeze.
Right. Which is probably, you think it's such a double-edged sword. Those low interest rates are such, obviously great to buy a house.
At the time, they helped the economy a lot.
Right.
But now you pay the price.
Nobody wants to sell and rebuy a home because they're going to be paying a higher mortgage rate.
Or they say in economics, there's no free lunch. Now we're seeing that there's no free lunch.
Spot on, sir. Spot on. So what's the big takeaway in that talk? What's the big message that you want to leave people
with? The housing market is not, as we discussed earlier, the housing market is not going to be the disaster it was. We're not going to see defaults and foreclosures and delinquencies and millions of homes and all these terrible carnage. There'll be some problems here and there, of course, especially in cities that had very rapid price appreciation. Think of places like Austin, Texas, for example, or Boise, Idaho. The poster
children
of price appreciation, 30, 40, 50% in a year and a half.
Try San Diego.
San Diego, right. Those places will probably see some give back.
Yeah.
But in the whole, maybe we see 5, 6, 7, 8% negative, price declines nationally. But nothing catastrophic like we saw 20, 25% 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, last question for you. If you can, get out your murky crystal ball. What's life going to look like in a year from now, in 2023?
If all goes well, a year from now, we'll be roughly back here again and somewhere in Hawaii at a beautiful conference put on by Kathy and NCOMA and so on. We should be at that point rates probably start to come down, I think, a year from now.
Okay.
We're in the recession, and inflation is coming down nicely, mm-hmm. and the Fed mm-hmm. says, okay, I think we're done. It's time to become now more loose with monetary policy. Mm-hmm. We're going to lower rates, begin to lower rates. Then the stock market begins to take off the roof
right
for
on.
Real,
right
and
on.
The recession ends probably 5 or 6 months later.
All righty. And then all those people that lost trillions of dollars in their crypto investments can get it back, maybe.
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 But
I don't want to go there.
But not through crypto.
No, I digress. I don't want to go there. But anyway, thank you so much, Elliot. Always an adventure, always an education.
Appreciate
pleasure
your time
to be always, here. And always look forward to talking to you.
Look, I look forward to next time already.
Indeed. A year from now. Well, let's
if
do that.
Not,
let's
if
do
not
that
sooner.
Sooner. Exactly.
If not sooner.
All right, sir. Well, go up there, break a leg today, have fun, and look forward to watching you on stage.
Thank you very much. A pleasure as always.
Elliot Eisenberg, everybody, the Bowtie Economist. Studio Lounge Interviews brought to you by Nakuma, OM Financial, and College Ave Student Loans. This episode brought to you by Origins, origination technology for today's credit unions.